We're dealing with some sort of mystical weird shit with them as well, where like it's not really explained. Are they like undergoing some kind of process that makes them like, because the one in Ahsoka turns into like dust.
Oh my god, yeah, that guy, what's up with that?
Yeah,
he's in a scene in this show.
Yeah, he, why does he turn to dust?
I don't know. None of the other ones do that. Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Batch. I'm Julia.
And I'm Becca.
We're best friends and lifelong Star Wars fans, and this is now, again, just a Star Wars fan cast.
It's just about Star Wars
it's
in general, baby.
It's just Star Wars again.
Yeah, well, and this is a follow-up episode to last week's episode where we talked about Tales of the Empire. Nope, the Tales of the Jedi. This is Tales of the Empire.
Yeah.
I didn't change it on our script. Anyway, this is Tales of the Empire episode we're doing now.
Fuck yeah, it is. So this one. I had heard going in from some of my coworkers who obviously
I
had
came in
it.
Unadulterated. My ears were unadulterated.
I came in adulterated. I had some opinions floating around. I mean, I had assumed it wasn't going to be as strong as Tales of the Jedi just because...
Just based on these two characters.
Just based on the characters. Well, based on one of the characters, but...
I mean, both of them are less... known.
Yeah, I think also just like kind of less interesting. I was hoping that maybe we could get some like redemption in this. I feel like though, and we were just talking about this a few minutes before, this kind of unfortunately hit a really middle ground for me where it's hard to talk about because it is neither something that is super exciting or something that I hate deeply that I want to change. It's just kind of middle. It's very middling.
Yeah. Which does make it a little bit difficult to talk about. I still feel like I have things that I really liked about
it
and things that I didn't, but I guess they're not as compelling. I just feel like there was a little more clay to play with Tales of the Jedi. I don't know if that's because the characters were a little more well-known and fleshed out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's because if Dooku and Ahsoka were like just such big characters that everyone knows and like, you know, has known for a long time. And like these two characters are very like, I mean, one of them was introduced in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then like subsequently we got more of her story and like basically the conclusion of her story in Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And so now we're getting her backstory, which it feels a little bit like they're trying to make her a little more relevant.
Yeah.
Because she was such a weirdly large part of Ahsoka, which like, again, we don't need to get into this now, but she didn't need to be there.
I don't know. Like, it's hard because I feel like, in a way, like similarly with Dooku, we knew, like, you know, we didn't necessarily know, like, a ton about him. He was in a lot of Clone Wars episodes, but effectively just, like, as a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then we knew his end, right? So it's like, well, I guess, like, maybe the interesting thing about him is that we hadn't ever really seen him, like, as a young person or, like, part of the Jedi Order or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the interesting context that was being added. But it's interesting that, like, truly, though, like Morgan, we know how Morgan's story ends. It's just that, like, I don't think she's ever been as interesting of a character. Like,
I don't think she's been given the time to cook. And I went in here really wanting to be, like, she's interesting.
Yeah.
I like her. Like, I think the first episode is really strong, but...
Yeah. I would agree. We can go through the episodes and talk about them again. I think like my kind of big overall notes is like, I think the story, like this type of show still works. I think it's an interesting way to like shed light on like different aspects of characters, either that we haven't seen before or new characters.
I would welcome more like tales.
Yeah,
series.
I would love just like maybe like an ongoing like anthology of like we have three episodes of a character. I mean, here's kind of a big problem I have with this one is... In our last episode, our Tales of the Jedi episode, we were talking about how a more classic anthology type format would be three episodes with one character, three episodes with the other character. This did that, but I legitimately think it is less successful.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as strong of a structure because we are now reading those as two separate entities instead of things that are intermixed and intertwined and like... It doesn't feel like the characters really were juxtaposed against each other.
No.
It's just kind of like two characters that we follow for separate reasons.
Well, I think the thing you have to remember with anthologies is like a lot of, I mean, they're all, they're different, generally different stories, but they're all based around a central theme. And so if like you focus too much on a character and not a theme, which like not that this had a theme, definitely, but like... I think it's nice and satisfying to see them all really intertwined.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, these anthologies are kind of only dealing with two characters, two main characters, really. But yeah, it was, even though Tales of the Jedi was not totally interspersed, like it was just one Ahsoka episode, all the Dooku ones, and then the other two Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But like, it still read as very like, because I think it was also in that chronological order that we're so familiar with, it was like, oh, okay, I totally see that way that these like, the hands of fate and these themes are really like, you know, tying all this stuff together. This one was kind of like, I'm going to present you with one character's like arc basically, and then the next character's arc, and like, see, they're different, like, and they like, and contrasted, like, each other, and it's
but I feel like, again, and
like, by the time we got to like the end of the Morgan episodes, I was just like, I know exactly how the Barriss episodes are gonna go.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. It's just like, it felt, yeah, it became kind of predictable, and also it feels like it just like fell flat on that. And it's hard because, like, I think if they had come out with Tales of the Empire first and this was the benchmark, then Tales of the Jedi would have felt like novel. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that Jedi came first, which means that felt like the benchmark, right? The standard of, like, you know, this is kind of how these anthology series maybe will run. You know, it's a lot about how, like, characters' interactions like unknowingly reflect on other characters, or there's this like ripple effect, and like your actions have consequences throughout time. And like, again, it feels like in general, now that I've seen Empire, it feels like, oh, that was just like a novel thing for Jedi. But I don't know, like, I kind of was missing that like connection between the characters. So it feels like to me they should have picked either two characters who maybe like you wouldn't have thought of were connected, but were, or like, I don't know, like something.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is that, like, I think Morgan is kind of the weak link in this. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, Barriss is episodes in this, I don't know, like, they were good. I think they could have been better. But like, I think like she actually, like, it was interesting to see her because she was a character that we had some interesting, I don't know, preconceived notions about. And then we kind of got to see more of her like ethos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan, it felt like kind of a net neutral. Like, I wrote this in my notes a lot where it's like, I don't really feel like I learned anything. I don't really feel like the character got more interesting. It was just kind of like,
whereas like
we're just operating at baseline still.
Whereas with like Dooku's arc, like, we know his conclusion as well. And we know that he dies a villain and that he doesn't get redemption. And that, you know, he, for the larger part of his life, is a villain in our story. But, like, it was really interesting to see how he got there, and, like, how he struggled to, like, double kill Yaddle, and, like, you know, like,
and, like,
how he
even
was kind of tricked by Sidious as well, and, like, you know, all
and,
that
like,
stuff.
And, like, suffering, like, through loss and all
of these things. That was a little interesting. Like, and not that, like, obviously Morgan didn't experience loss. Obviously, like, her entire, like, way of life and culture was kind of erased by Grievous and by extension Dooku. But then, like, I don't know. She it just, like, jumps so hard into the, like, obviously she's filled with hate and anger and, you know, a wrath for justice for her alone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we all know how this is going to go. Like, I don't think there was as much of a struggle in it, which, again, not that she needs to be, everyone needs to be the hero, right? I feel like, I still think she can die the villain, but like, you know, it was less interesting because I'm like, I know how this is going. Like, there's no, she's just going to continue. I know the decisions he's just going to continually make.
Yeah, there's no, like, surprise in there. Which I think is, like, obviously a type of character arc we can have.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't feel super, like, novel. It didn't really feel, I don't know. Like, it just kind of was, I don't know. And we can kind of, like, I'm going to use this just sort of transition into, like, let's talk about Morgan's episodes. Yeah. So it's the first three episodes. It's the Path of Fear, the Path of Anger, the Path of Hate, a.k.a. the leads to the dark side. Which I think is interesting with this character. I mean, it is just kind of a naming convention of the episodes, but, like, I feel like, and I wrote this in my notes, and now that I think about it, I don't actually think it's true. I was kind of going to talk about how it's like, oh, I still think, like, the pacing is good, and I still think that, like, you know, the writing is pretty much there for, like, short format episodes and, like, an anthology show.
I don't think it's bad,
but now that I think about it, I actually do think there's wasted time in these Morgan episodes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, kind of, again, like with the Dooku episodes, I think what really humanizes him is seeing, like, losses, like, very personal losses. And to be fair, we understand Qui-Gon's death in that context in like a couple different points of view, because we can see, we know how it affects other characters. So I think it's like heavier, and it's kind of like, it was already like, you know, 85% of the way there. And then that kind of like added another interesting facet to it. And so with Morgan, who's like kind of a new character that we don't know much about, like it's harder to make the weight of loss feel heavy enough to justify actions. I just kind of think that potentially her whole, all of the witches getting wiped out, it maybe happened too early. We didn't get enough time to feel.
Yeah.
I don't hate that it happens right away. Like, I think like starting on action is interesting, but it's like, it didn't, at least to me, it kind of felt like all of that was just like a like happening in a dream. It felt very like, I don't know, unattached to me in a way.
Yeah. I do think this episode was the strongest of the three. I actually really was a huge fan of the way that this episode started. And I felt I can understand her anguish there.
Yeah.
I just feel like my problem is that like her anguish, like halfway through the episode became like it's called the Path of Fear. I don't think she's very afraid.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like immediately goes to like, I'm fucking angry, so I'm gonna go,
yeah,
like, you know, kill these droids that killed whatever my family. And then obviously she like basically causes the opposite thing to happen.
Yeah.
In, you know, this mountain clan mother's daughter dying.
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't seem to really give a shit about that.
No. I think that's maybe like what it feels like to,
yeah,
me. And also just like, like, I think the first episode was the strongest. It feels like the other two episodes are so long and like...
Well, because I think like both of them have to do with her being the governor of this like little town.
Yeah.
We meet her in Ahsoka or in Mandalorian.
A lot unnecessary, I think, maybe. And so I'm like, oh, if maybe you like shifted this like inciting incident like down a little bit, or like gave us different time someplace, like,
yeah,
we could have eaten up some of the kind of like empty space in the second episode.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, I like the scenes in the, mm-hmm, like in the beginning of the first episode. I think they're good. I feel like what they gave us, though, the like component parts didn't really feel like they built to anything.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I think I know what you're saying. You mean built to anything in the first episode or built to anything in the other
just
two?
Just like in, I feel like her three episodes are just kind of, and yeah, again, I wrote this in my notes, and this is like, this is an impossibility, but I thought I would, you know, note, yeah, it, where it's like, I feel like what needs to happen is that we need to go back in time and fucking fix this character, because she's so boring.
She really is.
And it's like, I don't know. I think it's no, like, nothing about the actor or anything like,
no,
that. I just truly think that the writing of this character has just not really been there.
Well, because she's not very dynamic. Like, she doesn't have multiple facets, really, like, which is interesting because I'm such a fan of characters who like have trauma in the area of like losing their cultural identity,
yeah,
and then wanting that back.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, that's such a good motivation. And I think that's honestly where the rest of these episodes fell really flat for me, which was like, I don't really understand her motivation.
No.
Because obviously she's not like here for the glory of the Empire, clearly. Everyone knew that was a lie. But like, she's also like, she says like, I'm here for revenge, or I want revenge or whatever. But it's like, girly pop, like, it's kind of the Empire that did this,
yeah,
to you. Like, it's a little
also,
bit
like, revenge on who?
Yeah, revenge on who? And I'm like, I was trying to twist it in my brain and be like, I guess because she's so filled with like anger, fear, and hatred that like anyone who wrongs her, like, she basically is using revenge as like a scapegoat emotion for just like,
sure, yeah,
anyone who I don't like. But also like, that's not a good that's not a good story motivation.
No,
or not a good character motivation. That's just more characterizing them as like, they are fully giving into like the evil.
Yeah.
They're not open to redemption, or they're not whatever. Like,
I feel like it's hard because, again, I think we do need stories about people whose like cultures are taken away. Like, that's very much a real thing that happens in, mm-hmm, our world, right? That like, we should be aware of. And I think like having that included in stories is like good and important.
Yeah.
But like, this story isn't a good representation of that. And like,
I wish
she doesn't act very human.
No,
she just kind of becomes a dick. And it's,
I think the, like, yeah, and it's not like she becomes kind of unhinged and crazy. Like, that would have explained it a little more, where like, oh, she's really giving in to like the darkness inside. Yeah. And like, you know, she's just unhinged, she's just angry and looking for anything, you know. Like, I had to sit there and be like, I guess this could explain that.
Yeah, you
line
really
that
have
she did
to,
yeah, like
get your mind around it.
As far as storytelling goes, I don't think it was as clear. It's weird to me that, like, she's not a more unhinged character. Like, yeah. I really, and I know I say this about a lot of characters.
I think we just think most characters should be unhinged.
Well, but I feel like, too, especially with, like, negative arcs, it's so fun to see characters just become a completely different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like this is very thematically true in Star Wars. Like, the more you give into this hatred and the darkness and the fear and the anger and the hate, you become like, we were talking about this too, like when we were talking about it yesterday, like you become a different person. You kill whoever you yeah. were inside, like, which is explained with Anakin. We're like, Anakin is dead.
Yeah,
this is Darth Vader. Like, yeah. It's obviously the same person. He still remembers things, but like
very much his humanity.
His humanity is gone. Yeah. He is a shell of who he used to be. Like, not even a shell. He's just a completely. He's taken that and thrown it away. Like, that's what's, I think, satisfying to see, because like you see the fruits of these, you know, this giving into these emotions, right? Like, that's Star Wars to me. That's the dark side. And I just feel like she remained really cool, calm, and calculated. Also, I think that would have been a really good, not that Thrawn was in this for very much, but like,
yeah.
Also, can we talk about how she's just like, Thrawn, I love you.
I have so many thoughts about this, like, again, as someone who's like watched all of Rebels multiple times, but like, sorry, quickly on the previous note, I also feel like she doesn't really show sadness all that much, like,
yeah,
like one time.
I feel like emotions are so complex, right? So like, you oftentimes, you know, when you're experiencing grief, like, you are sad, but then that becomes, and you know, the five stages of grief where like
bitter.
You become angry, but like, you first are sad, and then, you know, you're in denial, and
exactly
whatever.
I don't feel like we really, and this is, I think, what adds to her not really feeling like a human person, is that like, we don't really see complex emotions with her. It's just that she's like bummed out one time when her family dies, obviously.
It was a strong start, but then you just fell flat. I loved
the animation of that scene. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a gorgeous scene. I felt like it was like appropriately
heavy.
When
she punches the dirt,
and
that
the
is
dirt
amazing particles.
Is my beloved. Yeah, like, the special effects department is going
when,
off.
When we were watching that, we both literally went, "What the fuck?" And then like wound it back like four times just to watch that dirt.
It's good dirt.
It's good dirt.
There's a couple of like special effects things in this show. Like, in the Barriss episodes, a couple of people will like sweat.
Yeah.
But and there's like really cool rain effects. I don't know. They're doing great stuff over there. Anyway, but yeah, I don't feel like her like anger is really like embittered. I don't feel like it's really like sad. Like, she just kind of like becomes an angry person, but with like no other flavor to it.
She kind of turns into like the boomer parent that's like, well, I guess I was a terrible mom anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
so yeah, no more thought on
yeah no
that.
More thought on that yeah. yeah
okay as thank you for I made that note anyway onto the Thrawn shit. I feel like Morgan being in this at a base felt like a gimme to try to justify her in other things.
110%.
Which, to be fair, I don't know if she was ever supposed to be more than just a one episode Mandalorian villain, is my thought. And
oh, absolutely.
Someone was like, what if we threw her in Ahsoka? And then she was like a cardboard cut out of a person because she didn't need to be there. And now in Empire, it feels like we've done that again. We're like, we're going to give her a gimme because we need some backstory on this person, because she just keeps appearing places.
And listen, I'm not saying that this can't be done, but I just don't think it was done well.
I don't think
here.
It was executed well.
No.
But one of my little pet peeves about this is the fucking Thrawn stuff. Where, like, again, I've watched all of Rebels, like, a lot. Thrawn is an interesting character. He's, like, kind of a fan favorite character. I feel like this Thrawn and her, and Thrawn even in Ahsoka, feels so much like Morgan was writing fan fiction of her life.
Fully.
And that she was like, oh, Thrawn thinks I'm the specialist girl because I admitted that I want revenge. Like, it's kind of giving pick me.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm like, it doesn't. Here's what I think my biggest problem with her is that her motivations are very confused.
Yeah.
Because, again, we see this huge, amazing scene in the beginning where she's like losing her entire cultural identity with her like magic tattoos fading, which sucks. That sucks.
She gets her Valisleen Solist yeah. off to make
hey,
a-
topical Dragon Age
Yay,
reference.
Dragon Age reference.
This one goes out to all my Dragon Age fans out there.
the two of them.
We should start a Dragon Age podcast.
We should! Along with all of our other ones.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, her motivations are very confused because, again, she's, like, lost her culture. That's a huge... And then she wants revenge, right? Okay, assumingly, like, she wants to become part of her culture again. She's trying to figure that out. The last hope of becoming part of her culture again is on this faraway planet. She has to get there. That should be the reason she's going, right? She maybe is doing it under the guise of, like, yeah, guys, we gotta get Thrawn back for sure, for sure. It's not about anything else. But no, she's literally going because she's like, Thrawn, daddy... I'm here. And it's like, I wish we would have gotten there. And again, this is not our Ahsoka episode. That's in a couple weeks. But like, I wish you would get there and then be like, fucking move aside.
Yeah.
You blue man.
I feel like, again, it doesn't really feel like Thrawn had anything to fucking do with this. And like, they tried to justify what happened in a complete other show with like one scene in this show. And it's like, but I don't even really think it felt strong for either of the characters. It's like, Thrawn is a pretty like calculated dude and like really only keeps people around if they're useful to him. And I guess she is useful because she's, I don't know, really smart about planes or some shit for some reason. How and why? Did she go to school for that?
She was a witch.
Never explained how she knows anything about building and designing TIE fighters, but here we are.
Yeah, it does feel even more pick me when you put it like that, because it's just like, ooh, I don't know. She's just really smart. Like,
yeah, no,
she just
like,
can
she's,
do it.
She's
she
smart and beautiful, and she used to be a witch, but like her whole family died, and like... And now the king of the empire came and he's like, ooh, you're so special.
I
because
pick
you,
you
want revenge. Yeah, yeah, but like legitimately he picks her. And it feels like, and again, I think that you could have maybe pulled this off if you wanted to make her weird and an uncomfortable character. If she was infatuated with Thrawn in like a weird way because she was sort of, she got picked by him. She's like... there's like power or something behind it.
I feel there was like a little bit of a thread between like, okay, so she's lost her people and then she becomes like somehow becomes the governor of this town.
Don't know how.
And
they don't show
she
us.
Feels, I think she's kind of putting that loss onto them and be like, okay, these are my new people. I will take care of these people or whatever in her weird messed up way that she does.
Yeah.
And then they like slight her and she's like, oh yeah, fuck you guys.
Yeah, I mean, she in the show literally is like, these aren't my people.
Right.
Like, you turned
on
that
and it
real
seems
fast.
Like a revelation to her, which was interesting. But like, I feel like then she should have placed that on Thrawn.
Yeah, he should have been
and
like
the Empire.
The new proxy.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, oh, these are my people for sure. But like, it just kind of fell flat, like, because I think that scene also coincided with like the where she's like, they're like, oh, we know you don't really care about the Empire, the glory of the Empire. Yeah. That was a lie. So like, what do you want out of this? And she's like, revenge. And it's like, girly pop on who, first of all? And secondly, like, is your motive revenge or is your motive like filling the hole left by the destruction of your people? Are you trying to fill that in like a sort of a manic way?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a much more interesting, like, unhinged sort of villain thing. I think I
just don't feel like this character ever has like the emotions behind her that she needs to
which
feel.
Is so funny because it's like so dark side, which is so fraught with like
she
quote-unquote negative emotions.
Feels, I don't know, she just feels really boring to me. And it's like, I think because we never, and like, I'm a big fan of people like becoming unhinged in the way that it's like you're so angry you become like, I like manic, not in the clinical sense, but manic and sort of just like a really
like Maul.
Yeah, exactly.
Maul was like chef's kiss, amazing villain.
He was fantastic. And I think like that's a really interesting case study of like bringing characters back and like doing whole new arcs. And like they really did like sort of they really kind of like a phoenix from the ashes, like created this whole new thing with him. And I feel like I wish that level of audacity and insanity was in Morgan. And maybe she's really good at like keeping it inside, but it comes
but
out sometimes.
I want
sometimes.
These little flashes of exactly. things. Yeah, she doesn't need to be as unhinged as Maul.
No.
Maul is like straight up fucking crazy on a garbage planet for like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
How many years is that? I can't remember.
It's not important.
It's like nine.
9, 20. What's
nine
the difference?
To 10, probably.
His only friend was a weird talking
like
snake.
Like a talking snake guy? I don't know. It's so strange. And the four. But yeah, like Morgan just feels, I don't know, she just feels like nothing. And then like she has that revelation where she's like, these aren't my people, and effectively like, I'm just gonna fuck them over, and becomes kind of like a dictator of this like township. But it's like, to what end? Like, none of this felt really like very compelling.
I wish instead of no, it didn't. I think because her motivation was so confused. I wish instead of her saying I want revenge, or is like, she would have said I want my people back.
Yeah,
because I think that would have been a more interesting contrast with Barriss, who in effect also lost her people and her way of life, and then like is finding her way back to that, essentially. That is the theme I think we should have really nailed down. And I think the theme was sort of just a general, like, the dark side bad, light side good, guys.
Truly. Okay. It's like, sometimes...
this is a Star Wars.
Sometimes it's a little confusing. And it's like, okay, yeah, I know that. I've parsed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, the end of Morgan's episodes where she just starts fucking burning things. Like, I think that's kind of an interesting, like...
I wanted more of that.
Completion in the arc. Yeah, I wanted more of that, though. Because I feel like the like, killing people, like, taking away their way of life, like... Now she's becoming the instigator of that.
Yeah.
Like, people feasibly could want to have revenge on her because of her actions.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I think that's interesting. But again, like, the fact that the next step of her story is just kind of, like, years later and, like, I don't know. It's just sort of down the road.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nothing also.
I wish... So we have that sort of full circle moment in the first episode, The Path of Fear, where like she is the cause of the daughter dying. So the mother now is mourning, you know, whereas her mother was killed.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting parallel. And then obviously we have in the third episode, The Path of Hate, that whole like she is the one now setting the fires and burning everything. That is a very good... I like that full circle moment. I think in the third one, the second episode, we really needed another moment like that.
Yeah, we didn't have anything.
Like, which might feel too on the nose, but like honestly, I think that second episode was probably the flattest.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because we don't explain how she got to be this governor of this town or whatever. Like,
we don't explain how she knows how to engineer TIE fighters.
Yeah, like I wish we could have seen her like fuck someone else over in that one where it's just girl, like, you're really making some bad decisions.
Stole
here.
The ideas or the plans for the TIEs from another person and like killed them, or like, and then was like trying to pass it off as her own. Like, I don't know. She doesn't.
And then
And again, like, she had some motivation where she's like, you know, I'm trying to find my people. I'm looking for my people. And it's like, never being able to, I don't know, she makes weird decisions because of that or something like that. I don't know. The second episode was just kind of meh.
I don't have any answers, but I think that that's, I've identified the weak spot there.
And it's that one, the second episode.
It's the second episode.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know. Again, like, I don't think she was that interesting of a character in Mandalorian. Like,
Because she was supposed to be just like a one-off villain.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but like...
I don't even think she was good in that episode as a contrast to Ahsoka. That episode is not...
No, they're extremely different people and they don't have similar motivations.
I don't
not
know.
Not to even mention the way Ahsoka is the Mandalorian. Anyway, we're not talking about this right now.
That's sort of a deep well we'll have to get into at some other point.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe the Barriss episodes we can get into.
Yeah.
I liked these more, I think.
I did too. I think I'm obviously more endeared to this character because she's been around a little bit longer and she's been in Clone Wars. And I honestly think that like what they did with her character in Clone Wars was really interesting because we don't ever see... The only other person I think we see kind of being like, I don't know if the Jedi are really like doing what they're supposed to be doing. Is like Anakin, which obviously he's kind of filled with fear for other reasons. So he's not really like, you know, that his critique of that is not really based in like objectivity, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that we had this character who was like, I'm going to do something about it. The optics of it at the time that it came out were really bad, to have this character who seemingly comes from a race and culture that is very modest and wears a lot of head coverings, do an act of terrorism.
Yeah.
That's not cool, and I cannot believe that they let that one slide.
It's pretty aggressively bad. Like,
like
astonishingly bad, and a huge, wildly bad oversight to do that.
Oh, fully.
Again, it was a poor choice, and like, I don't know. It was just weird. And then the fact that, like, it never really got resolved, or, like, we didn't really talk about it.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone mention that. I'm just like, I would love to hear someone be like, yeah, we really shouldn't have done that, and it's bad that we did that.
Yeah, it seems like it just kind of And then like immediately after that is the Ahsoka episodes, the Jedi Who Knew Too Much episodes. It's like Ahsoka's exit is legitimately directly after that.
Well, because it is like part and parcel with like what Barriss did and all that stuff. That's because she gets framed.
Yeah, framed for it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot about that.
No, that's okay.
I thought that was a different arc for some reason. No, nope. There's just like an episode after that, and then she's like, bye. And then there's season 6, which is just something we never talk about. but like, I don't know. It was challenging. And so I'm glad that we got Barriss again.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that a lot of this seemed to be, well, not a lot of this, but some of this seemed to be about like her ethos. And I think like it is, again, it's interesting to see someone who legitimately did have like legitimate issues with the Jedi that are fair. Like, they're up to stuff. Like,
oh, for sure.
They're being, you know, whatever, blinded by the dark side or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, like legitimate issues. Was not handled in the way that it should have been handled.
Wasn't handled. And then I wish like we talked about it more in this series a little bit. Like, I
think so as well. It's interesting that it's kind of the tee up for what happens with her, which I guess is interesting. I wish we got into it more. Anyway.
I think it could have been discussed in like the last episode or something. Or the fifth episode. I feel that given Morgan's arc, I was like, oh, okay, like I know exactly how this Barriss stuff is gonna go. Like, I knew that they were gonna start recruiting her as an Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Which like I'm still, jury's still out for me how I feel about them.
The Inquisitors?
Yeah. I don't know about them.
It's that's fair. To be fair.
And I can't really put like words to it at the moment, but I think it's an interesting concept. I don't know. It feels a little like YA fiction to me.
Oh, for sure.
A little bit like we wanted like a weird angsty thing to happen. Or like we needed sort of like they're like bad Jedi. And it's like, yeah, no, we get it.
It's hard for me because like, so Inquisitors had their debut in Rebels.
I will say, I think they've gotten a little bloated.
Exactly.
I think I'll let you say what you're going to say.
That's sort of where I'm headed with this is that like, under the guise of like Rebels is definitely like a different vibe of show than like what Clone Wars became, what Bad Batch was, really what these like these Tales anthologies have been. Like, it kind of made a little bit more sense in the context of that show, at least the beginning of the show, that there was like kind of like a goofy evil Jedi variant.
Yeah.
This show is a lot more lighthearted at the beginning and like was a little bit more all ages than like Clone Wars ended up being. So it makes sense. It's funny to me how many people have like latched onto this. Like, there's also Inquisitors in the Jedi game. So Jedi Fallen Order, and then the second one I can never remember the name of, which I'm trying to figure out if this character Lynn is from the games. She might be. But I don't know. Like, it is just kind of like goofy to me that like they took these like kind of funny characters, especially like given spinning lightsaber staffs.
Don't get me started on that shit.
In Rebels, someone legit uses to like fly away. I think that guy immediately dies, but it's really funny.
Oh my god, it's fucking so hilarious.
And it's great too because I'm pretty sure that is a Maul episode. And so we have Maul being fucking crazy and weird with Ezra, and then there's a guy just like helicoptering away and then he dies. Really, I'm like, bye, bud.
People complain about Kylo Ren's lightsaber, which I like the design of. Is it useful? Probably not. But I like that it looks like an old sword. These, though, I feel like we were getting a little bit too in the weeds with lightsaber design. And they're like, double lightsaber, great. Circular hilt, okay. What if it spin? I don't know about that one.
Oh, so she's in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Fourth sister. She's somewhere. I don't know where.
Gotta be honest with you, kind of forgot about that show.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe we'll get to that at some point. It's super goofy. Like, it is legitimately silly. And again, it's legitimately something born out of animation, which is a medium you can do a lot more stuff in than live action when you're trying to make it look cool. I think they're saying that, like, in the Inquisitors are kind of like bloated, I think is like an apt way to put it, just because it's like there's been more added since
Yeah,
Rebels,
I was gonna say, why are there so many of them? Why is there not like one or two at a time? Like why are there four? And
I think understanding them as, I mean, they're named Inquisitors for a reason, effectively like an Inquisition being like, we're gonna find all these people and kill them.
Yeah.
Like that makes sense, but like I think we've dove too far into the well.
Well, and then like we're dealing with some sort of mystical weird shit with them as well, where like it's not really explained. Are they like undergoing some kind of process that makes them like, because the one in Ahsoka turns into like dust.
Oh my god, yeah, that guy, what's up with that?
Yeah,
he's in a scene in this show.
Yeah, he, why does he turn to dust?
I don't know, none of the other ones do that. We'll talk about that when we get there, but like,
and then the last episode of this show, Lynn shows back up, she's like, looks the same, and Barriss is like got wrinkles and laugh lines and like older. Yeah, and I'm like, which I like.
Yeah,
but I'm like, do they inject you with like forever young serum or like what?
My thing is that like, and again, I've watched so much shit, I know so much about Star Wars, I fucking couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know. Like, again, my kind of thought is that they've lost their humanity and therefore are kind of like neither alive nor dead. They're just kind of like here.
That doesn't explain but why one of them turns into fucking dust when
but
he dies.
Like, yeah, no, that's more of an explanation of like maybe why Lynn has no wrinkles. But
yeah,
like,
no, fully.
It is pretty
wild. But I like
wild.
How no one says anything about
Can
that.
Can I tell you, every other time they kill an Inquisitor, like in Rebels, they just are their people, their meat under
yeah.
there, you know? They just
okay,
get
so
stabbed or
is
whatever.
Is he not really dead?
Someone gets pushed
but
off
But then
a cliff.
That never comes back up.
No. And also, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. We are getting so
we
into
this is
the
not our
Ahsoka
episode. We will talk about that
but
in 2 weeks.
I don't know. Okay, so like Barriss stuff, right? Like I think it's interesting, like the way that she, you know, gets recruited into the Inquisitors, like the fact that like her a presumably old friend comes and is like, oh, I got an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
And also, you were right, which is really funny to me. That do you think if she in her trial didn't specifically say like I think the Jedi are bad, they wouldn't have,
from my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
Yeah, she in her trial was just like, well, I think you guys are doing fucked up shit. And then like 2 months later, when the Empire takes over, they're like,
yeah.
Oh, remember that person who said, and I quote, the Jedi are
doing
fucked
up
shit?
Yeah.
And they're like, I think we can get that one.
I think we could do that one. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a little bit, as soon as like we opened up and I'm like, oh yeah, she's going to get sort of recruited to the
yeah.
Inquisitorial school of dark Jedi.
Of dark magic.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Sure. I appreciate that, like, she's pretty quick to use, like, to, like, tap into that dark side
yeah.
magics and
if
be like,
okay,
whatever. I'm gonna choke you. but, like, she's still obviously retaining, like, this, you know, goodness about her. I think it's because I said this when we were watching it, but she has, like, a genuineness about her.
Yeah.
Even though she did sort of blow up a building and kill people, she truly believed that the cause that she was doing it for was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Not excusing her actions.
No.
But she's not in it like a lot of other characters within the Empire are doing it very much for like selfish and greedy reasons of
yeah.
like, well, I want to get to I want a ladder climb, or I want to like establish myself as, you know, I want more power. Like they're very selfish, and that is kind of what gets you pretty far in the Empire.
Yeah.
Like that's the way it's structured. So I think that like it's interesting that she retained this like genuineness of her as a person, right? Like she is committed truly to the ideals that she was taught, but
yeah.
you know, saw all this shit happen and yeah.
It's yeah, again, like I think I liked her episodes better. I don't necessarily think they're like the best written out there,
yeah.
obviously. I wish maybe we had gotten more into the ethos of it at some point, where it's like, again, like, you know, just because you think you're doing the right thing doesn't mean that you have the right to like hurt people
yeah.
or like the fact that she is so genuine but also is like very easily willing to like choke someone with the Force and like
yeah.
use kind of like effectively lethal Force. Like I think we could have gotten into more of the like philosophical, you know, discussion about how, you know, there isn't necessarily just like good people and bad people.
Mm-hmm.
There are like, you know, good people who do bad things, or, you
good
know,
people that have complicated motivations,
or like people who can become, you know, decide that they don't want to be like a bad person anymore. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's like degrees to things. And I feel like what we kind of got was like, Barriss very easily jumping to like being selfish, but not like putting both of her feet in that sort of, you know, not completely jumping into the pool.
And then being very easily able to jump right back out.
The
struggle wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Because like when she is in the like weird little sort of like inferno arena with that guy who has Pennywise hair.
the clown race.
The clown race in Star Wars, which I don't think we've ever seen before. There were many alien designs in this that I was like,
I love that, like, we're going to add some new ones.
Which
now.
I like a lot, and I like a lot of the designs of them, but then there's like this Pennywise guy, and I'm like, who, what is up with you? I think his name is Dante.
His name is Dante.
Which is a wild name for someone in Star Wars.
For someone who goes into an inferno.
Yeah. But when they're doing that duel, like, I was actually genuinely surprised that her first inclination is like, you know, we cannot fight. And he's like, well, they're going to just kill us anyway. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, and then she has to fight. And then she just fully force chokes someone.
And she's like, okay, bye.
Like, she kind of jumps from like, I thought in that moment she was going to be like vicious. I thought she was going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to let anyone kill me ever, you know, or like take my life away from me again. Like,
which would have been more interesting, I think.
Yeah. But instead she's like, we can still be civil about it. And then that guy's like, fuck no. And she's like, okay, well, you made me. And then she just like chokes a person to death.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, like, and I don't know. And then she never really feels like she's fully in it, which, like, I think what could have been interesting is that if she was really, really ingrained in it and then had to find her way out, like, effectively taking what ended up being Lynn's story and then kind of making that Barriss's story or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
she Barriss does start to feel like a side character in her own story at this point.
I think, like, and you noted this earlier where it's like we all knew that Barriss was gonna flip back, like,
of course,
like, surprising no one. I just kind of wish that, like, and I don't know if this would have worked pacing wise but like we would have saved the like flip back to like the third episode and like had more time with her being like evil or quote unquote
evil. Well, yeah, there wasn't enough struggle, I don't think.
Like, maybe giving into like her like fears, right? Like, because or you know, anger, or like maybe she has a lot of like leftover emotions about like the Jedi and stuff, a lot of unresolved stuff, because like that kind of got ended without her being able to do anything about it or process it or whatever.
Yeah,
which maybe would have hooked into Morgan's story a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and then like, and then have her flip in the third episode, and then maybe we get like a scene at the very end that's like her with her butch haircut, you know, looking old, and like maybe it's just like the start of a conversation with Lynn, and the thought is like that it gets to the place where Lynn changes.
Yeah.
But like, it's, I don't know. Like, I think again that third episode, I like it, but it is not about Barriss.
No. I feel like it's a good conclusion to her story, that episode. But yeah, I wish we would have gotten how from like the moment she decides that she doesn't want to be an Inquisitor anymore or like wants to leave the Empire to like where she, how she, how does she end up as like this like mystical healer on a snowy mountaintop?
Yeah.
Like how do we get there? I feel like that's the bulk of like the issue that I have, where I'm like, I wanted to see more of the struggle or more of the like how she made decisions to get her there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Does she have like a weird healing ability? Like, I mean, obviously she does, but like, you know, what does that mean? And
yeah,
how does that make her
really
feel? And
that,
like, you know, what's that look like? Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, like, it feels like they decided at the end that, like, Lynn's character was more of an interesting juxtaposition to Morgan, so it kind of became about Lynn instead of Barriss.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you wanted those two characters, like, you wanted it to be, like, Morgan and the fourth sister, and we kind of get some, like, maybe some emotional backstory, like, then it just, like, becomes about Lynn, and, like, you know, it's a different anthology, but maybe those characters would have paired better together,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think so.
It's hard because, like, like, truly, like, I like Barriss. I think she's interesting. I think she needed like some more time to like let suss out like her intentions and like give her some redemption, because it was shitty what we did to her character.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it was very successful in creating more context, or like, I don't know. It
wasn't as punchy as I think it could.
Exactly.
Be.
That's a good way of putting it.
I also think that like there wasn't really enough explanation of like maybe how she feels about the actual way of the Jedi. I thought it was a little annoying that like when she decides to leave the Inquisitors, she's like, I'm a Jedi again. And it's like, girl, you had so many issues with them.
Yeah.
Like, what is your relationship to like, you know, that way of life? Like, and it can't just be like, well, the alternative is bad. Like, cause you kind of decided that you didn't care about that. So like, what's the, like you decided you didn't care about that enough to like do a terrorism.
Yeah.
So like, what's the, like, how, why is that decision different now for you? Yeah. Like when you, just because you've been confronted with like evil, like you, I mean, you were kind of confronted with evil when they started training you and you had to kill people that you knew. Like,
yeah.
So I think that falls a little flat, and we don't really get her explanation on like how she feels about the way of the Jedi, and like, you know, and I think that's like would have been a really good struggle between, you know, when her deciding to leave the Inquisitors and, you know, where she ended up in the third episode.
Yeah. I almost would have preferred if we had sort of like a, this is an Ahsoka thing, but like not Ahsoka the show, but Ahsoka the character, where yeah. she would have had like a I am no Jedi moment.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I understand that that was what I was, but I can't be that anymore. But I'm also, that doesn't mean that I am evil or right. I'm of the dark side. It's just that means that I'm a person, yeah. right? And like, you know, maybe she could have like had some time to explore what that means.
Yeah, I would have, I think that would have been a stronger story, and I would have made her feel less like a side character by the end of yeah. her story.
Also, like, personal pet peeve of mine is just like this understanding that like if you are strong in the Force, you are either a Jedi yes. or a Sith, versus just like, this comes up kind of sometimes, but it's like when people are like, oh, that means that they're a Jedi. And it's like, no, that just means that they have a Force ability.
Yeah.
Jedi is effectively like a faction. So is Sith. Yeah,
a religion, basically.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that she becomes like a healer instead yeah. of like a freedom fighter. I yeah. think that's that was a good like contrast to who she was previously. And like, I think that's a good answer, but I just don't think there was enough like, either just like environmental storytelling or actual conversations about how she feels about the Jedi.
Yeah. I think also the fact that she isn't, why is she alone? Like when she is a healer, like yeah. I think maybe it could have been interesting. This is just a random thought of like, what if she was like in a town of people where like yeah. the community became important to her? And then we have a contrast to Morgan.
Yep, yep, yep.
And
yep.
like, you know, Barriss has found her people because she has like opened her,
exactly.
her life up to newness and new life and yeah. all of that stuff, and yeah. like, but again, is it necessarily like a Jedi? She's just like a person, and like,
yeah,
I don't know, I feel like the fact that she's alone and isolated is kind of weird. Like it doesn't really feel
weird.
Like connected to anything. It just was like,
oh, it feels like she fully had like a, oh well, I'm a Jedi again, I have to be sort of this monkish figure.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
she's pulling sort of like a Luke in Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Where he just like lives alone. I was like, yeah. you guys know that
you can
live amongst
people.
Other people. Yeah. They're like, no, we're supposed to be monks. And I'm like, I think you take that too
I guess
literally.
There's like an air of like, well, the Empire is sort of haunting
yeah.
Jedi and it's not great. But also, you know.
I mean, she's already in a rural place anyway. Those people that come to her
people
for
already
help,
know about her.
Like,
so,
know yeah. about her. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. Again, like it feels a little like I see the intent of a lot of these things, but it feel like it floundered.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that last episode, like I like the stuff with Lynn, but this isn't her story.
Yeah.
And it feels like we maybe got a little bit too much of that by comparison.
I will say one thing I really liked about the last episode for Barriss was I really like this ice cave scene.
Oh, I do.
I
too.
Think that
yeah.
was so amazing. I love too that I think this was a really good way of telling the story of like how unhinged you can become when you are just feeding on the hate, the anger, and the fear.
Yeah.
Where like there are three ways to go. If you just calm down and go one way and figure it out, you can, it's easy, right? But like she's so like just crazy about it and
yeah.
like is just so angry that like what is so clear becomes incredibly fogged over and like
yeah.
it's confusing.
And she like aids in becoming like she's the reason that that happens.
Yeah, like Barriss didn't have to do anything like she didn't have weird booby traps in there. It was literally just like a cave with a few ways to go, right? And so it's just like, I love when she was like, you'll never come out of that cave again if you go in there. I was like, oh, did you get like, did you do
yeah,
like Indiana
like
Jones booby traps
in there?
And then she's
something.
Like, no, it's just kind of a confusing cave if you're a really mad person.
Yeah, if you're super angry and you're not like in a place where you can think about it, then like you're not going to ever get out.
So I really liked that scene. I
yeah.
thought it was really, really good. It was a good explanation or like a good, non-conversational way of telling that part of the story. What I didn't see coming and what I don't think I like is Lynn ultimately like accidentally killing Barriss.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming and I thought it was not great.
It's hard because again, like as part of a Barriss episode, I didn't like it. As part of a Lynn story, a fourth sister story, I thought it was really good. And like, I didn't see that coming either. And like, I thought it was like a little cheap, right?
It was a little cheap, yeah.
But like, it's also interesting to be like, you know, your own, you know, anger and your unwillingness to let go and like open your life up to another person is like ultimately like what caused you to get lost and then like kill a friend. But also I liked it under the guise of like karma, essentially, where it's like you did this. And like, if she wasn't able to make it out of the cave because she had killed Barriss and she had died there, where it's like, oh yeah, well like this is, it's, it comes, becomes like, you know, hubris or like a, you know, cautionary tale.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of silly that Barriss died. Like
it's really just, she became a side character in this last episode.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's like, it, I liked the scene a lot. I liked Lynn getting super upset and like frustrated and then ultimately being like, okay, but like,
yeah,
I the death was, it felt unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just was like, I mean, like, I think the way, this is a really specific like animation thing, I think it looked really cool the way,
yes,
that whole scene looked really great. But like the fact that you can see their breath because it's cold, mm-hmm, right? And then eventually like you can't see Barriss's anymore because she like dies.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. But
oh no, for sure.
Why also?
I also just like, I think, not that this is sort of a redemption and death sort of thing, but like, it is so much more powerful as a story to be like, I see that you've changed. I'm giving you a hand up. We're in this together.
Yeah.
We can, like, if Barriss's story had ended with like, we both got out and now we're going to bolster each other.
Yeah.
It would have been so much sweeter and, you know, and better for both of those characters rather than just Lynn.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not like Barriss is, like, in the beginning of the third episode, like, I have terminal cancer, so it doesn't really matter if I live or die right now.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, like, she could have offered more and done, like, it's still, like, a pretty big tragedy that she died. And now Lynn is sort of, like, newly, has a new realization, but is, like, a baby in that, where she's, like, I don't know where I'm going and, like, what to do. Yeah. It wasn't, I wouldn't have done it that way.
It's the thing that we kind of always talk about where it's like, redeemed in death is like kind of annoying. And this isn't necessarily like redeemed in death in the Darth Vader sense where like he dies, but it is kind of like redeemed in someone else's death where,
or like you had to learn your lesson by killing someone else.
And it's like, I don't know. It feels cheap to me because it seems like, well, the ultimate thing you can do is just be killed by someone, I guess. Like instead of being like, and I feel like you could have, again, if we talked more about Barriss's ethos in this, mm-hmm, and like why she did what she did in the Jedi, or maybe why she disagreed with the Jedi, and maybe it was because they lacked an emotionality to like, you know, and they weren't necessarily willing to help. They like failed in that purpose after a while.
Yeah.
And maybe like her, you know, thing with this is like now she gets to be in community and help in
exactly
a way that like she always wanted the Jedi to do, but they never did with Lynn, right?
Yeah.
And like she gets to sort of be the like shepherd of another person and gets to be in community with another person. I think that also would have been really sweet if maybe Barriss lived in a community with people and that community of people like was able to look past Lynn being an inquisitor now to Lynn being just a regular person and welcome her with open arms.
Sort like of something, a Pabu situation.
Sort of a Pabu. Remember
everyone
Pabu?
Just ends up on Pabu.
For people who don't watch Bad Batch but listen to this episode, that probably
first
means
of all, why?
First of all, you're here listening to us.
I mean,
but you
thanks,
didn't
slog
through three seasons of a show.
Not that you have to, but like
you can.
Okay, all right,
good for you. All right, keep your secrets.
All right,
but like you know, I think there could have been. I think the theme that we could have put in this more is the understanding of like you know, like you were saying before, like finding your people, but like the idea of community and like the fact that Morgan says fuck off to all of that because she's like she's more interested in
the
idea.
She feels personally slighted. And
truly,
is, yeah,
the idea of revenge than ever like putting in the effort to find a new community and then like you know,
or on really understanding what community means.
Yeah, and then like having two people who like have been through a lot and like, but ultimately at the end of the day are willing to like open their hearts and minds to like the idea of people being in them again and like understanding that you've made mistakes but ultimately like there's good people around you and they're you know that's a really nice thing to have you know like I don't know I feel like they maybe tried to go too deep in the well of like, it's the Empire. So that means that like the dark side and like, I don't know, like you guys can make it sweet. It's okay.
Yeah.
I did want to note briefly, I think it's really mm-hmm. interesting that Morgan's episodes are all the like path to the dark side, like Sith stuff. And she is not a Sith. Like she's not a Force user.
No, I kind of like that we're integrating the thematically Star Wars things that yeah. we've already always seen very like connected to Jedi and Sith with like everybody else in the universe as well. Like yeah. I'm glad that she doesn't like, you know, she's like, I have Force powers, like yeah, something yeah. like, and she doesn't acknowledge like the way of the dark side, like whatever. Yeah. I know the Witches of Dathomir are supposed to be a little spooky. So like there's that element of like, ooh, yeah. are they a little sort of dark magic, dark side kind of thing. But like, I appreciate that we didn't see that be so like on the nose, like,
yeah,
I am following the way of the dark side.
Yeah. What I kind of appreciated about this, and again, it is just kind of a naming convention. So who knows if it was really like all that intentional, yeah. but like, I like kind of the juxtaposition of being like things that are usually equated with like Sith being equated to just like a woman who's yeah. got a huge fucking chip on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an interesting thing. Again, like creating a nuance there. Do I think that the nuance was really created in the show?
No.
Not really. But I, you know, wanted to call out the intent there.
Yeah. Sorry, I just kind of swooped in and like took your whole point.
No. It's, I mean, we're having a discussion. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of this is like, I just think we should get in our magic time machine, our H.G. Wells time machine. We should go back in time. We should fix Morgan's character because it's, I just don't know what you can do with it at this point.
It feels like this character was someone's baby and they really wanted it to be in more things.
Yeah, I guess. Whose baby?
Like, I don't know. But like, this feels like a kill your darling situation.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
And like, she does get dead. But like,
well, not without a lot of pick-me-isms and
yeah,
and all
I needed
that.
You
yeah.
to kill your darling, the idea of it,
first of
way
all
earlier.
Shouldn't have been in Ahsoka at all.
No. I just, it's so wild to me. Yeah. I also wanted to make, sorry, an absolutely off topic
yeah
note.
Go for it.
I wanted to briefly talk about the style of these shows.
Yeah.
I forgot to talk about this in the last episode. And then when I was editing it, I was like, shit, fuck, I didn't talk about that. Anyway, I think it's really interesting that these Tales anthology series are kind of splitting the difference between a lot of animation styles. I think they do it pretty successfully. In Tales of the Jedi, I think it is a little bit more noticeable that the models are styled slightly different and that like the colors they use are slightly different, but they still have a way of making it fairly consistent. Like, especially when we see like Anakin and Obi-Wan, and then like in the with Ahsoka, the like part, the like Order 66 time, like it does seem to be the same models from Clone Wars, but it seems to be like lit or textured or colored slightly differently, so it goes more consistently with the show. I do think that Empire is like slightly less stylized, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like we noted, I think the special effects, like animation is really phenomenal with like rain and sweat and the sand and all that shit.
Yeah, fully.
I really liked the design of the mountain people's like costumes. I think mm-hmm. those were really interesting. The models felt a lot more like just like basic here to me.
Yeah.
It didn't necessarily, and maybe it's because like Ahsoka's mom was super fucking hot in the last one. And it's like, wow, you're beautiful. And I'm really going to note that in my brain. But like Barriss looked roughly exactly the same as she does in Clone Wars. And like,
yeah.
Morgan, I think they
it's hard because yeah. Morgan is just a white lady with brown hair.
Yeah, like I think,
and as a half white lady with brown hair, be more interesting, you know.
I think it's interesting. Like, I think they did a good job of making the real person actors features into the style, right?
Yeah.
Of this animation
fully,
but I just don't think, I don't know, like I think you could have maybe done more. I maybe wouldn't have put her in the outfit that she's in Mandalorian at the end of that.
No.
I would have maybe mixed it up a little bit. She can wear more than one outfit. It's okay.
this is just occurring to me, and I'm so sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, go for it.
It would have been really interesting for Morgan after her, like, magic face paint fades for her to, like, continue painting that on
yeah.
and, like, have a moment where, like, it gets wiped off a little bit and she freaks out. I just feel like that
we needed some
lens
more
to this, like, like fear kind of, like, or, like, I don't know, trying to... It's clear that that's the hole she's trying to fill.
Yeah,
basically.
I feel like we need that was really more off topic, cues but. In her design to her past. Like, she wears yeah. sort of a burgundy red, which is fine. But, like, I think maybe having a more sort of, like, a Night Sisters way of, like, dressing, or maybe having some sort of, like, token or artifact mm-hmm. or something that she hangs on to
necklace.
That maybe could yeah, play into the way story.
She does her makeup or does her face paint. She paints it on, even though it's not, like, quote unquote, real anymore.
Yeah, I just, it feels like there's maybe some missed opportunities here when it came to, like, design. I also maybe wouldn't have said it in this town that she's already in Mandalorian. Again, like, if there's an, I know this is, like, it's time and money and manpower and people, but, like, if there's an opportunity to design something new, I probably would have taken it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we saw that in Tales of the Jedi. Like, we went to villages we haven't seen before, and, like, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a time, it's a issue of, like, time and money and people. It's fucking Disney,
just,
so.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, like, I think the Morgan, you know, character models animation was maybe better than what the acting maybe we got in Ahsoka. This is, again, nothing against the actor. No. I think it's mostly has to do with directing and writing.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's still, like, I don't feel like the character is really giving me anything to go off of. And I feel like because of that, a lot of, I don't know, she becomes just kind of bland. And I think, like, we kind of see that in her design and the environments that she's in.
Anyway, sorry to derail that conversation.
No, I just wanted to note that I think it's interesting. I mean, mostly what I loved about Jedi was the fact that Dooku had a big squash nose.
Yeah, he looked very interesting.
I think it's really funny trying to, in that situation, find the stylistic middle ground between, like, real man and what the fuck Dooku looks like in Clone Wars, because he doesn't look like a human man. No. He looks like you took Barad-dûr and you made it a human man, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's so long and pointy. And then being
they
like,
said he's a villain, so
he's gotta have sort
long
of
pointy nose, pointy chin, pointy beard,
angular man. Yeah. Angular white man. Yeah. And I know it's like Chris Lee, but anyway. So it was interesting to see how they had changed his character design. I really liked it, but again, like, I think the style had a little bit more going for it in the previous show. And
for sure.
I'm interested to look into maybe the production times and all of that.
Anyway, yeah, that's true.
Notes on style. I will say, anytime there are clouds or an environment big
so
matte painting,
beautiful.
It is like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
It's so gorgeous.
They have very talented artists.
Yeah.
And I'm very jealous because they make beautiful, beautiful clouds, and it's all I ever want to look
at. It's a pleasure to look at. It really is.
It's a joy and a pleasure. It is, again, like, I think these shows have really, we've really found the sweet spot when it comes to, like, stylization and color and, like, amount of, like, fidelity, right? Which would be, like, the level of detail in all of these things to make, like, a really interesting, compelling, but also able to be, like, scenically beautiful and visually interesting. Because, like, I mean, if you look at, like, early Clone Wars, late Clone Wars, what Rebels ended up looking like, you know, it's very all over the place and different. So even Star Wars Resistance, a show no one talks about. It's a very kids show. But yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, so I'm interested to see if they do more of these anthology shows.
We have been seeing a lot of people on Twitter being like, we want Tales of the Clones. And I'm like,
that's,
I mean,
Wars,
I'm never going to say no to more, like, clone content because I think it's really interesting. But Curly Pop, that's Clone Wars.
Unless the clone content we get is, like, Cody and Rex hanging out as retirees and everything is fine and nothing bad happens.
Like that was Clone Wars and Bad Batch.
That's Clone Wars, that's Bad Batch. We have a bunch of clone content with Rex and Rebels.
Yeah.
Like, we got a lot, like, most screen time goes to these boys.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's probably something that will happen.
It's not it's not the direction that I would go in. That being said, I don't really know where I would go. Maybe Tales of the Rebels. I don't know.
Yeah, or like maybe Smugglers. I guess you could do just Hondo episodes. I would love Hondo episodes.
We get to unlock Hondo's tragic backstory.
And he's like, there's a reason I'm this funny and smarmy and weird. And it's because I have a tribe. My parents died.
My life is set. Yeah. No.
It's just like an ambient, like the lo-fi tunes background, but it's Hondo. And he's just like hanging out with like a, I don't know, nondescript glass of alcohol and like some spice for like 5 hours with bumping tunes.
Yeah,
you know?
It's that. No. I mean, I'm always a fan of like little stories that let us see into the Star Wars world a little bit, which is why like Rogue One was so fun to me.
Yeah, I love that.
Best Star Wars movie.
Movie,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would stake my money and reputation on that.
Like,
for what? I don't know. But
yeah, all of the money and reputation that we have.
The money I don't have and the reputation
I don't have.
We're really famous, Julia.
Clearly, yeah.
No,
you know?
It's just a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
It's
and again,
movie.
I think like being able to see real people in a universe of like fantastic people, I think is really fascinating. Oh, and I think like we love to talk about that with Batch, and like that was a really great movie. Like, I don't know. I want more of that. Yeah. I want like stories of people living in this world.
I just like, I also really like anthologies.
Tales
I think they're
of the
so
Pod
fun.
Racers. It's just the NASCAR episodes.
You could go by planet. Tales of Tatooine.
Yeah,
that'd
be
cool.
Be interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know what.
Tales of Coruscant. I want to see more of Coruscant.
Let
me get into that nasty underworld.
I was going to say we should put this on the record.
Yeah.
That, like for years, the thing I want to see is like Coruscant-y underworld. It's my absolute favorite in the Star Wars universe.
I always think of that canceled game Star Wars 1313.
Yeah.
I think forever mad that that's not.
Yeah.
I hated that we kept going in Jedi directions with games. We need to go in fucking smuggler directions with
like,
games.
I want a. And I'm going to say dark and gritty, but I mean that in the way that there's less lighting and things are dirty.
Stinky and icky.
Neon Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Bullshit Star Wars.
Hell yeah. Rats running everywhere.
I want big, nasty rats. I want flickering neon signs.
Let me deal drugs.
Bartenders. I want dealing drug side quests. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it is so rife with, like, interesting people's stories. And, like, I think it is kind of a disservice to be like, the only thing we do is, like, the pretty part of Coruscant with all the senators and the religious people. And
yeah.
It's like, there's an entire world of people who live underground.
Yeah.
And, like, we kind of got that with Trace and Rafa.
Oh, no. I'm super glad we got that. I really love Trace and Rafa.
I'm just,
But I want more.
You know what I always think about with those episodes is the fact that we got to see a laundromat.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, I love that.
Tow truck. Laundromat. Just
more. Give me a mailman.
Give me more of that. Please.
Star Wars, please.
Star Wars, please.
Or let us do it with all of our clout and money.
Yeah.
Clout and
money.
We definitely have stuff to back it up. Anyway.
Hey, we've been doing this for what? Like, well, when I say this, I mean, you know, waxing poetically about Star Wars
for
like 11 years. No. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So we've got some clout. It's fine. Anyway.
Don't check our work. It's fine.
Hire us.
This is our application. Hi, Dave.
Hi, David.
Anyway.
Hi, sharks. All right, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
We will be publishing an episode for Ahsoka on Monday, July 1st, so tune in for that. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and also on Instagram and Tumblr at The Batch Pod. And while you're there, if you could leave a review, if you like the show, and let us know what other shows we should cover. Like I said, we're doing an Ahsoka episode. We've had a request for Visions. But yeah, let us know.
Yes, please. All right, so if you like story
and you like Star Wars,
then tune in for the next episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Batch.
Bye.